And a very good morning to you. This is the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. It's the first day of February, actually, so we've already put 1 month of the year behind us. And we had a report from the governor of the central bank yesterday, and of course we had reaction from various political leaders and representatives yesterday on the program, and I'm sure today we'll be discussing that as well. We'll be with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Graham Vaughan is taking care of things technical. I'm Dennis Johnson. You can reach us at 434-1790. You can send a WhatsApp message to 266-IEVOB, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. One of the first things we learn when we sit in the chair as a broadcaster is, in times of uncertainty or in times of trouble, you do not use the word panic. That's the first thing they tell us. So if there's a weather system, don't go on air and say, a hurricane is coming, don't panic. So when the central bank governor is reported, or the headline says, don't panic, trust me, people, wrong headline, wrong place, wrong thing. But should we be concerned? Yes. Because the foreign reserves continue to drop. And the question is, when the central bank governor says the foreign reserves have decreased to 6 weeks cover, what does it mean to you? Do you understand what that language says? And when I look at read some of the comments and try to balance it with previous comments, I get really confused. For example, the center page of The Nation says, the governor explained that the decrease for the third consecutive year, there was modest improvement in economic activity. But after an encouraging start, preliminary data suggests the growth rate is estimated to have moderated to 1%. The governor said this was reflected in the combined effect, and this is in quotation marks, of a slowdown in the tourism sector in the second half of the year, the delayed implementation of foreign-funded investment projects, and the impact of tighter fiscal policy. Okay. Let me read from Barbados Today, May 23rd, 2017. Barbados is on pace for a second straight record year in long-stay visitor arrivals, according to Tourism Minister Richard Seeley. Seeley today announced that the island recorded an 8.2% rise in arrivals at the end of April when compared to the same period last year, setting it on course to easily surpass the 610,000 visitors who came to the shore last year. He said the performance over the first 4 months of the year was above the projected figure, and things are set to get even better with the annual Cropover Festival, the Caribbean Festival of Arts, and several conferences still to come. So try to relate that, as I tried to, with the central bank governor's tourism sector slowdown. See, when statistics get tossed around about the greatest, the best, better than record, I try to find out exactly what it means. Okay, I don't get caught up in the personalities. I don't get caught up in the parties. It's like Ms. Ducaran's comment yesterday that almost threw me under the chair. When Ms. Ducaran said that the Bahamas increased their foreign exchange holdings by letting Bahamians hold $100,000 in accounts. The Bahamas currency was rated higher than the U.S. currency at one point. Then it was on par. So Bahamians used U.S. dollars like they used Bahamian dollars because it was on par. So asking a Bahamian to put $100,000 into an account is really no big thing in the Bahamas. Here's the other thing. If my $100,000 is sitting in a U.S. account gaining 2.5% interest, am I going to bring it home to get 0.01% interest? And then she says to invest. Invest in what? Real estate, Julie Dash, etc. says real estate market is down, so maybe. But to do what? To pay land tax or to rent it out? What am I going to invest in? I can't invest in Cosulas. I can't invest in Hilton. I can't invest in BNTCL. What am I going to invest it in? So I hear the comments. I understand what you're trying to say, but it does not resonate with me. Perhaps that's because I'm dumb. So I'll put that on the table as well. But it's also said that we should hurry up and get the things that are supposed to be sold, like the Hilton and the BNTCL. Here's my caution. If when it's sold and it goes into the foreign reserves and it looks good, and we continue what we're doing, guess what? It can drop again. One. Two. Sdukaran made an interesting comment, and it's this. Does the figure, the current figure of 6 weeks cover, include the cost of the other things we have to pay within the next 2 months or so? So if we have not paid the $30 million on the prison yet, foreign reserves can go down further. If we have not paid other loans we're supposed to pay, and we have to pay it in foreign exchange, the reserves will go lower. See one of the retired people say we in duck's guts. I hope we enjoy it, because we'll be having duck for quite a while. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello. Brass Tacks, good morning.
A very good morning to you, sir.
Yes, sir.
How are you keeping your good self?
I am trying to be good, sir, and you?
So good, glad to hear that. However, sir, my reason for calling this morning is that on or about 4:35 yesterday evening, I switched on my radio to hear coming from the Senate a senator coming to the end of his contribution on the police amendment bill that there should be the introduction of an independent complaint authority for the police. That comment brought me to reflect on the year 1984, when I was robbed at gunpoint. Learning who were the three, a complaint was made to the then Commissioner of Police, Mr. Oliver Jordan. However, sir, in the year 2003, I made a suggestion through this particular form that an independent body should be put into place to investigate the police, which received strong support at a public meeting on law and order, which was held on Monday night, the 1st of September 2003, at the Foundation School. It was a town hall meeting hosted by the National Commissioner of Law and Order, headed by Sir Roy Marshall, with Mr. Justice Belgrave, member of the commission. I told the hearing that the police could not adequately cope complaints against their colleagues, and the time had come for an independent complaints tribunal. Sir, I am not anti-police. I am an advocate of law and order, and I was instrumental in the formation of the Neighborhood Watch, which realized community police, saying all officers are not the same character, and the bad apples should be removed from the force. All is, what I'm saying, sir, if there is to be a good public and police relationship, there must be respect for each other. I am fully aware, when dealing with criminals, you are not dealing with Sunday school children. And in this day and age, when there are so many people with guns and gunplay, it is better for the police to be tried by 12 than to be left by 8. At the same time, members of the public should be treated fair. I now make reference to a case of March 15, 2015. Nothing has been heard recently of the recommendation of the Director of Public Prosecutions concerning the March 15 shooting death of 57-year-old Selvin Blues Knight, which was sent to the Acting Commissioner of Police, Mr. Tyrone Griffith, but has been promoted since the Commissioner of Police. That then acting Assistant Commissioner of Police with responsibility for a crime, Mark Thompson, has been called to her service. Therefore, I now ask an open question to the Commissioner of Police. Since the director at the time of public prosecutions has been called to her service, has the return file found itself in file number 13?
Okay, sir, and hopefully you will have a response to that from those who can give it to you. I thank you, sir. Brastax, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, sir.
How are you this morning?
I am doing all right, sir.
All right. It is no way that you all have the computer could pull up any former newspapers or anything like that.
Sir, it depends on what you want and where we go to get it.
No. All right. I am looking at Wednesday, May 3rd, 2006. The governor of the central bank at the time, Ms. Williams, state, this is the headline, up and up. Governor remarkable growth for seventh straight quarter. Barbados economy is on a remarkable course as it grew by more than 3% for the seventh straight quarter. And then she went on and she gives indicators. She said that the long-term tourism grew by 4.1%. On the other hand, in the completion of her article, because this was on the front page, she added high interest rate should encourage more savings while combining the success introduced last September to keep import growth to check. No, I made that mention. I don't want to go into detail, but since the governor made a report on the growth of the economy, I refer to 206 because we constantly hear how this country was left in a bad state of debt. But let me go on to my pet subject. But I made that mention, and Dennis, you could pull it up.
Sir,
and you know you better than me on
this. Hold.
Yeah.
Hold. You see, this is where sometimes I have a difficulty. You mentioned Dr. Marion Williams's report of 2006. You mentioned that the article referred to the growth in the economy. You have not mentioned what the debt was at that time. You have not mentioned what the debt to GDP growth was at the time, and whether or not we were paying our bills. Now, if you want to compare it with the debt now, that's what you should have mentioned. Now, if you want to mention growth against growth, no problem, because you're talking about a percentage growth for the seventh quarter here, and you're talking about a less than 1% growth for about the past 3 years where we've been over it. I hear what you say.
No,
I'm just pointing that out. No, sir, I'm just pointing that out. Because if I go and look for the report, I will go through the whole report, okay?
Yeah.
I just warning you.
I deal with growth, right? I deal with growth.
So therefore, talk about the growth, not the debt, because it said the debt.
Growth.
Right, good. Okay, good. Cool.
Good.
We're on the same page now. Go on.
Right. Now, let me go on now.
Mm-hmm.
I have no quarrel with the governor of the central bank making pronouncements pertaining to why the workers should not get wages. Increase, wage increase.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dennis, let me be real. Now, we had in this country since 1992, wages were cut from the workers, 8%. We had a deduction and severance payment. The workers bear our grant. Now, in 2013, after 5 years of management by the Ferrandestra administration, he promised the workers of this country that not one person was going home. The union at the time accepted that if you are not sending home no worker, we would not ask for an increase. No increase was granted. but the workers eventually went on. Now, we went as far then as introduced an increase in VAT. No worker benefit from that because it caused their salaries to have more less power, spending power. You know, introduced the NSRL. Worker again, the lesser portion of the workers who were not working for approximately $250 a week were granted what we call reverse tax credit after the VAT was introduced to compensate. Because as Owen Arthur said, despite the fact that you are not paying direct taxation, you are paying VAT. So he had to release them. Now, I am calling on the very governor of the central bank. When all of these things were happening to the worker, could he not tell the same administration or anybody or any governor that what was doing to the workers is depleting the powers of their spending? But today now you are here, you want the union to agree with you not to increase salaries again.
So the governor of the central bank is not required to tell the union or the government anything about wages of the public sector. Hold on.
Go ahead.
The governor of the central bank made the comment about references to increases based on his prediction or his assertion or his checking that it cannot be based on the figures that he has in front of him a sustainable increase to give. The central bank governor can do that. So in other words, the central bank governor, I don't know what he tells the Minister of Finance when they sit across a table to have their chat, which I presume they do, right? I don't know if the Minister of Finance would say, public servants want 5% increase, they could get it. And the man would say, based on the figures I have, well, yeah, perhaps. But that ain't going to come to the public. He ain't going to get up in public and say, public servants could get 5 or 10% increase. That's not his remit. What he can say is, if you've asked for 23%, based on the figures I have in front of you, I don't think it is sustainable. That's all he could say. He can't even determine whether they get
Dennis,
it or not.
Dennis.
Yes, sir.
No, you are so right. I am getting to my point. He is the creature of the Minister of Finance. Therefore, he is recommending at this point in time that the government cannot pay an increase. Who knows is to defend the workers when all of these deductions are taken from their salaries?
Not him.
Who should get
not
it?
Him.
No.
Not him.
Not him.
Not him.
I don't know that, Dennis.
So then why are you asking it? So let me ask you, why are you bringing the central bank governor in if it has nothing to do with it?
Because I talk about what he said, that the government cannot afford to pay. So I am asking the question now. Said he is defending or he is a sports person on behalf of the
minister. He is not, sir.
He's a creature.
No, he is not. Sir, come on. Listen.
All right, go ahead.
Using this term creature to suddenly mean that the central bank governor cannot say anything or that he is some kind of, you know, puppet is wrong. The term creature of the central bank, of the Minister of Finance, means I get my power and authority through the Minister of Finance. Therefore, I do not speak on government policy. I speak on the facts before me. I present my recommendations to the Minister of Finance. He determines whether it's enacted or not.
All right.
That's what the term means. Hold on. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
If the public servants want a 5% increase or a 25% increase, if someone asks the governor, based on the current statistics, based on the picture you have painted for the economy, do you see public servants getting 25% increase? And you say, I can't see it happening. Okay? It is not sustainable. It does not mean that the Minister of Finance can say, you shut up, I'm doing it anyhow. Because
Good.
He does not have the power to tell the Minister of Finance,
what to
don't do.
Do
it. Yes, sir.
Good. Yes.
So don't blame him.
We get the employer or the government out of the picture. Now, who now is to defend the worker note pertaining to all of these deductions and have to live on it the same salary. Who is to speak on their behalf?
So the same people who speak on their behalf all the time. Their unions or themselves?
Good. Now, Dennis, I have concluded my case. Okay. I don't have no other submission. Thank
no
you
problem,
very much.
Sir. And thank you very much
thank
for presenting it. You know, who pleads on behalf of the pensioners of Barbados? Who pleads on behalf of the people with disabilities who depend on disability pensions and don't get either 5%, 10%, or 23% increase? Who pleads on behalf of the children with learning challenges whose parents have to send them to special schools and pay because there's no room for their particular challenge in a public school? Who pays for it? Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Johnson, I am very peeved this morning. For a whole year, which last month would make a year, since we have not been receiving a bill from Flo. However...
A what? A bill?
Yeah, okay. A phone bill okay. From Flo.
A year?
Yeah.
You raised it with them?
Pardon me?
Have you raised it with them?
Yes.
And they tell you what, your phone for free?
It seems so.
Oh, okay.
So every time...
And you get it? You still have the phone?
Yes.
And the phone works? I don't know. I have to ask you. I don't know why you're laughing.
Yes. The phone is working.
Okay.
But the thing is, we have been paying some bogus figures.
Why?
Because we do not have any bill to show or to query.
And you took this to them?
Yes, over and over.
And what
we called the 1-800 number. Somebody in China.
Did you take it,
ma'am?
They ain't in China. Did you take a bill into a floor office and ask them what's the problem with this?
We don't have a bill.
Okay. Have you taken the number to a floor office and asked them what's the problem with me not having a bill? If they have the wrong address, if they have no address.
Yes.
And what have they said?
Yes.
And they said.
And they take all the information.
Mm-hmm.
As they would normally do, take the information, mm-hmm. and as we left feeling pleased, mm-hmm. hoping that the next month or the next week, all depends on which day we went, mm-hmm. we would receive a bill. Mm-hmm. But still, there is no bill.
Okay.
So everything,
what's the bogus amount you pay? You just pay what you feel like?
No. When we go to pay the bill now, we will normally go actual pay.
Mm-hmm.
And we will give the account number because we would have previous bills from before.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount that is always present should not be the amount, that amount then.
Ma'am, Flo has offices, right, at various places, Sky Mall, Hit at Sedan, yon, okay? Sheraton, I can't remember where the others are. They even go Windsor Lodge, I think, now, where they're giving Action and Satisfaction. Song like a X-rated movie to me, but I ain't write the ad.
You got that one right. That's all right.
Song strange to me, but anyhow. So, here's your Action and Satisfaction. Go up there, show them some action, get some satisfaction, and hopefully you won't have to pay too much for it because they got a law against paying for satisfaction. Look, let me say this to you, right? I find it curious that there's an amount when you give you sure they have the right address? Or, something, your bill going by your neighbor, somebody else down the road. Because I just find it curious that, there is an account number, there is an amount, and, the postman don't like you. You must be the only person in the world that's complaining about not getting a bill. I would sit back and wait until, when you bill me, I will pay. I know I'm joking. Look, Marilyn, I hope your team listening. I could only assume that they can't find your address.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
We have changed our address by the legal way. We went in there, we filled out the form, and everything was verified and okay.
Mm-hmm.
But since, and even to that, up to now, there still is no
ma'am,
bill. bill, but every time we go to whatever outlet to find out how much our account is, there are always some bogus amounts.
But how you know the amount bogus? It may not be what your customer paying, but it may be what they're charging. No, ma'am, listen to me. I remember out of the blue, one day, I started getting two bills from Flo. One in my name and one in the name of my deceased uncle who shared the address, okay? I asked about it. I was told that they updated or upgraded the system. And because of that, my uncle, who's been deceased for a number of years, had not lived at that address. Somebody else lived at that address. I had another telephone number, came up. That would be fixed. Next month, it happened for about 4 months in a row. Until I sent a rather annoying note saying that, look, my uncle is deceased. I know he's deceased. Stop reminding me every month. That's what I said. Full stop. Because it didn't make sense to me. So perhaps when they updated their system and upgraded the system, they lost your changed address and they're sending it somewhere else. Hopefully not in China, because I don't think, you know, they...
Speak English?
No, they speak English. I think you don't speak Chinese or Mandarin or whatever it is they're speaking. Look, it may be because of the upgrade in the system, the wrong address come up somewhere, or somebody put number 256 instead of number 25, 6th Avenue. They put 256 Avenue, okay? So your bill going in cyberspace. Or they will tell you get it online, which, you know, I don't know if that will help you. Ma'am.
No, we don't want anything online.
But online may fix it. They may at least get your email address right. I just hope that when you finally solve it, you don't owe them, you know, $25,765.33 with an SRL and VAT. I just hope that, you know, they owe you money. No, because you're saying a bogus amount. I don't know. All right. Your bill used to be what, $100 and you're now $75? Or it used to be $75 and then $129?
It used to be like one something, but now every month now is either too high or three high.
Okay, well,
but
Well, you see, I know. And then you can't tell whether you're using more this or using more that, right?
Well, that's the thing.
Flo had reversed its ridiculous Snap decision not to send bills to customers. They have done the exact opposite. I got a cell bill, the lady is saying, for almost 1 year. Well, somebody else is having your issue. They did not get a bill for a long time. That's why I mentioned the online. Ma'am, I could only suggest, right, that you go back into your Flo office. You ask them to tell you the address that they have for you. You ask them, please, to look at their system, because they must have something in their computer system to print a bill for you, even if they tell you they charge you $5 to print the bill, so they could hand it to you so you could see volume used, numbers called, numbers received, whether you have TV service, whether you have data, or whether you're on a package A, B, C, or D. And make that determination, because it's in your best interest to ensure that what you're being charged for is what you have. Because if you're paying for telephone and internet, and you're getting charged for telephone, internet, TV, and my bill too, you have a problem. I don't know why you're laughing. I'm telling you. Ma'am, the reason why I'm saying this is because, unfortunately or fortunately, I have a telephone service, and I check my bill all the time. Okay? And I had a child at university, and I took out a plan that had data. And when that child was finished with university, I stupidly removed the data, forgetting that there's another child who will go to university. And when that second child went to university, and I got my first bill, and I saw the data, I almost had a heart attack. So I had to go and get another data, because them children don't talk. Them just send message. Okay? So long as they're my children, I had to cover that. So I am just saying to you, you know, if you get plenty text message and plenty WhatsApp message and send all kind of video to people, I don't know what bill you're talking about, whether you're talking about landline or
cell. No, not on the landline, Mr. Johnson. Not on the landline. The landline is just to make calls.
Is your cell.
That's all.
Okay.
And we do not make overseas calls, because, like you say, is WhatsApp or is even Magic Jack. So we don't need, we don't need to use the landline to make
calls. So, ma'am, go and find out what it is on your bill, all right? I would suggest you do that. That's the best advice I could give you. We have arrived at the point where, you know, I think it should go to them. Tell them to print the bill, though, so you could hold it in your hand and look at it. I love paper in my hand. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
Hello, hello, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I would like you to ask a question out there for me. Live here in Haggett Hall, Cutting Road, and Cutting Road Development. There's a strong smell of smell gas, and other things, kerosene to it. Kerosene oil. Mm-hmm. And it coming, the whole shut up and still. It's really strong coming across, you know. So I don't know if it's coming from that valley area or whatever, but it's really strong.
Okay.
So I don't know if y'all can find out if there has some spill or something.
All right, ma'am. I hope whoever have heard you and can help you with what it is, you have put it on the air. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I'm glad they changed that ad and say that the relationship coach name is Denise J and not Dennis J, because I had anticipated going home and finding 24 women or more standing up outside my house waiting for me to coach them on their relationships or get a lockup. You know, the amazing thing is this, right? A lady called to tell me about a challenge she has with her bill. And WhatsApp message, one, WhatsApp message, two, lady is correct. Since the transfer to Flo, I've not received a bill. It's so bad I was receiving somebody else's bill. I went to Flo and they did nothing. One day I decided to call the person whose bill I was receiving, told her what was happening. She was mad because I could tell her who she was calling and what she was watching. Flo fixed it, but to this day, I'm not receiving any bill. They can't tell me why. Next one. Over 4 years, I've asked not to have a bill. I pay $120 a month last month. Got my account number to show pay. I don't get a bill. Next one from the newsroom. The lady should visit the Government Hill office and have the matter resolved. Someone called the newsroom to say that that center works. They had a similar issue and it was rectified there and then. See? Everybody have issues. Nobody wants to fix it. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hi, Dennis. Morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
Dennis, what is this I'm hearing? Is this like the 70 virgins that some expect when they get to heaven? 24 women at your door? What is this, Dennis?
Well, there was an ad that said a relationship coach, and they said Dennis J. And I keep telling them.
Is you know what they're talking about?
No, it's a lady by the name of Denise J. Charles. Is not.
Oh, Denise Charles.
There
okay.
you go.
I
said to them, next thing you know, I go home and there are all these people standing up there waiting for me to coach them on relationships.
And Dennis,
I can't do that.
You will be in big guts.
Me? No. I will make a lot of extra income. I just get a lockup. Anyhow, I looked at it, I went, y'all fix this fast, right? So they fixed it. There was even a chuckle in Peter's voice when he fixed it. So, yeah, that's who it is, not me.
Before I go to my point, I want to say to the lady with the bill and all the others on the WhatsApp, perhaps they should write a letter going directly to Fair Trading on it's not in Manor Lodge, it's near there on Green Hill. Mm. And the Fair Trading, once it's a landline, they will
deal with
that.
It's all cell. They're all cellular phones. They're all cellular phones with a problem.
Okay, all cell.
Mm-hmm. All cells.
Right. I want to raise a number of suggestions and I want to start. I'm dealing with the central bank report, etc. I agree with the governor. We should not panic. I agree wholeheartedly with that. And I will say why further down. But an earlier caller spoke about union increases and the governor is saying it is not advisable for the government to engage in any increase in the public expenditure via salaries because they have gotten the debt down to a modest level. And he felt they shouldn't go that route. But, you know, I'm listening to the union, and they keep telling the government how much they could pay and where they could get this money from, whereas the economists, the central bank governor, everybody else is saying lamenting government to have the money, the private sector, they're not paying them what is due to them in terms of taxes, etc. But the union is saying, yes, they can pay. I often wonder if the union, looking at this thing in a realistic fashion and hearing everybody, and they know the government is in a bind, if they could not consider, instead of talking about wage increase, they could have looked along with the opposition, because the opposition is only fanning the flames, but they're offering a suggestion. Along with the opposition could have agreed with government after talks with the union to have a reduction in the hours of work, which will reduce the public sector bill, but it will save a number of employees' jobs. I hate to hear about...
Provided they're paid by the hour, right?
Well, even if they're not paid by the hour. So, for example, they're paid weekly, you say, well, you'll get a three-day work week. Or if you're not paid weekly and you're paid monthly, you will say, well, 10% of your wage bill we will take out. Persons in this band from CS to C2, this is the amount from C, and so it goes. And you vary the amounts in a grading scale kind of way.
You know, are aware that there was a law amendment made to the Constitution that the government cannot reduce the workers' salaries, right?
That's why I said to you, Dennis, mm-hmm. the opposition's help.
No, but the opposition can't do it neither.
No, they would need the government and opposition coming together to produce legislation.
No, to change the Constitution.
To change
the Constitution.
I thought it was a simple piece of legislation that passed. That was...
It was a constitutional amendment.
Well, even so, the government and the members of parliament and the opposition coming together can amend the constitution because need a 3/5 majority.
But it says without their consent.
Unless consent.
The consent of the workers, so the unions would have to agree to it too. You see,
but
that's the challenge of the way legislation is framed when it is framed, you know.
Yeah, but even so.
Because if you say you cannot make it to their detriment without, you know, you got to talk to them.
But remember what I said at the beginning.
Yeah, I know.
The unions and the opposition need to sit with government and agree. Because the point I'm making is this. Think about those workers. Everybody keep talking about the statutory corporation. Dennis, you getting a feedback?
No.
Okay,
not
I'm
yet.
Getting off this. Okay. Everybody keep talking about the statutory corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Send home them, the expense. But there are people with families too. And I feel that people, those workers who are government-appointed workers, they should think about those workers in the statutory corporation with no alternative, probably both of them working in a statutory corporation, husband and wife, what is going to mean to them, a single parent with three children or whatever. So then everybody should make the sacrifice by coming together, union, opposition, and government, to change that piece of legislation to say, if you give us a guarantee that you will not send home workers, we will give a guarantee that you can reduce the workers' salary by X amount for a period of 18 months.
Let me tell you why not. Three things. Let me start with the three things. One, you're assuming that government-appointed employees consider the people in statutory corporations, who they see sometimes as being government-appointed people, duplication of effort, and they're serving no useful purpose, as being human beings that they want to take up the fight for. That's the first thing. The second thing is this. You had a promise that nobody was going home, that jobs will be protected at all costs, and therefore the unions agreed to hold strain. Jobs were cut. People were sent home. The union decided, you break that agreement, I ain't really going to trust you anymore with anything you say. And thirdly, and this is the more important part, the rationalization of statutory corporations and the fixing of the public sector was a budget promise by the Minister of Finance because it was agreed that the greatest proportion of government expenditure was on salaries and transfers and subsidies to statutory corporations. What has happened is that those things were not done for various reasons. You had the case of BIDC workers who, when you tried to send home those who you figured you didn't want because of the age, you ended up going to the tribunal or going to court, and that tied that up. Ma'am, what we've had is a policy that has either not been implemented or badly implemented. And in that kind of atmosphere, then you add fuel to the fire by the taking back of the 10% that government that ministers and members of parliament had given up voluntarily. That's a volatile situation. All you right. can't get people to agree to sit down and talk in that kind of situation. They will pitch to the highest level, play to the gallery, and face off each other in what I call a Mexican standoff. Go for your gun. No, I going for my gun. No, you go for your gun. I going for my gun until the sheriff ride into town on a white horse. That's what's happening. We playing Russian roulette.
Dennis, okay. Or
Mexican standoff. Yeah.
Dennis, I mm-hmm. want to remind you that I want to speak on this.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So,
yeah.
I know, because then when it might seem like your time running and then I don't get to speak. But I just want to comment on the point you made earlier, which is that the point number one, that the workers would not see those statutory corporations.
Has been my friend.
They're mm-hmm. they're all brothers and sisters and comrades in the union, aren't they? They all belong to the union, most of them. Same union, National Union of Public Workers, or BWU.
Or the BWU. Uh-huh.
So if they are comrades and their brothers and sisters, I find that really strange that they will not see them as so.
Ma'am, they even have DLP and BLP in there, too.
Yes.
So I know you can't see it.
No, I don't care if they're BLP and DLP.
But that's how they see each other.
The leadership of the union will have to take up their mantle and say to them, these are all your brothers and sisters in the union, and we all got to make a sacrifice on behalf of a fellow member of the union. Let us all cut a piece of the bread so everybody can still have their job. And that way, you wouldn't be talking about a large number going home, because it will happen eventually, but instead you will have a smaller number. Let me deal with the governor's central bank point. Mm-hmm. And I noticed what he said. He said that I first want to say this word devaluation, that's the Malo Dukaran and the Greek guy who was on this web chat or whatever it is they had. But I saw the former governor Central Bank, Courtney, Mr. Warren, discounting it, this whole question of devaluation. When you are in an open small economy like Barbados, where you are not export driven, but you import most of what you have, I can understand how a serious economist, if they understand that system, would talk about devaluing the dollar. Devaluing does not help us because we are not exporting, so our goods become cheaper. Everything we have to bring in. So we have, what are we exporting? A little bit of services we get, and
tourism.
A little bit of manufacturing.
Tourism.
Sugar has been on the decline. So therefore, all that, and even that is tied in. So I am saying to you, this whole question of devaluation is a nonsense point to me. It's a non-starter, let me put it that way. And I also want to look at something that he said. He talked, before I go there, I want to ask that, Dennis, the report he gave was for the end of 2017, December?
Yeah.
Okay, well, as you would know, having worked in the hotel sector, the winter period starts at 15th of December 2015. So in terms of foreign reserves, that would only be for a two-week period in 2017. That winter period ends in April, I think April 15 or something like that, 2018. So we still have to wait and see what will happen. But I noted that in last year when he met with the union and the private sector, I think at that meeting, and he gave with the Prime Minister present, and Mr. Cleaverston Hay, he was acting Governor General then, he spoke about an estimated 2.2 growth in the economy during the first half of the year. But he said at the end of June, the international reserves plummeted to 9.7 weeks of import. And he said this drop in reserves was due mainly to government-expected external debt service obligation. So like having to look for $30 million every year to pay for the prison, having to look for other debt that the government has incurred, and that any government coming in will have to continue what the former government would have done. That is placing a serious dent on the reserves. And most importantly, he speaks about delay in securing planned foreign investment inflows. So like the Hyatt Hotel that has been held up in court because somebody says that the environmental impact that was done under the last administration for whatever they had planned there is not sufficient. They should do a new thing. Tongan Country said no, it's not needed, and that is held up. We can't get foreign exchange coming in due to that investment. We can't get it through the mobile sales. That is held up. Well, I don't know about the Hilton. I have a problem, I'll tell you, with the Hilton. I think government, I don't even think I want to sell that property. I really hope they don't, because that is prime property. But even if they sell it, it has to be sold for top market dollar. I don't think, but we haven't heard the minister say what they're looking at in terms of what the price they're asking. That I don't feel we should sell out our silvers for nothing. But I'm saying the planned things that government had a number of things in the pipeline, and all of them meeting objection from certain persons and certain quarters, and they've been held up. So government cannot go through with getting this investment in place. That is impacting on the foreign reserves coming in. Eventually, investors will get tired, and they might go and look elsewhere.
Like Four Seasons.
International business.
Like Four Seasons.
International, okay.
I'm glad you laugh. Because Four Seasons been pending for the longest while.
For the longest while.
Including checks being on desk. Ma'am, let me tell you the thing is though, sir, and this is why Ms. Dukaran's comment about whether or not the payments for the fixed payments that we have coming up in the first quarter, January, February, and March, for example, the you mentioned the prison and the various others, whether that will also negate whatever increase you plan to make or you hope to make with the influx for the winter season. Here's my problem, and it continues to be my problem. I am also looking at the 2nd of January 2018 report from the BHTA. Local hoteliers are already salivating over the prospect of a bumper tourism yield next year as they relish what has been another record year in 2017. And they talk all about arrivals and great arrivals and increases. And then, on the back of it says, despite the strong performance, the rise in occupancy, etc., the rate, the daily rate received, they had little to celebrate in terms of room rates, because the average daily rate only showed a 0.9% increase. The problem I have and continue to have is when we boast of record arrivals, bumper year, and we measure year to year, then it is not reflected in statistics given by the central bank. We then talk about, oh, but the room rate didn't go up. The spend was down. We had plenty of people, but they did nothing. They didn't go anywhere. We don't know how much money actually comes in because all-inclusives don't bring their money in here. Ma'am, we could talk about the payment for the prison. We could talk about selling the family silver from now to next year, to the year after and the year after. If we do not know how much our main engine of growth is bringing in over a period of time, then we cannot make projections. We cannot project spending on hope to sell by March. That's not how it works. Going back to Dr. Delisle Worrell, the central bank has been telling us about the pending sale of BNTCL, and then they added the Hilton to it. And before they added the Hilton to it, they used to tell us about Four Seasons coming on stream, and then Sam Lord's Castle, and then the investment in Merrick's that went nowhere, and the other one out there, so with Harley Quinn, there's no in the courts as well. We cannot make predictions on our spending based on, I hope to do it by March. And that's what we're doing. Thanks for your contribution. Brass Tax, good morning.